to call the House Rules Committee to order on Thursday, March 30th at 1:38 p.m. And for the record, present are Representative Guttenberg, Representative Coghill, Representative Harris, Representative Coring, and Representative Berkowitz. We have a quorum to do business. On today's calendar, we have Senate Bill 210, violation of alcoholic beverage laws and forfeiture. And then Senate Bill 186, Executive Ethics Act. We'll be taking up House Bill 210 first. And insofar as the Executive Ethics Act is concerned, there's a one technical amendment that was recommended by law, and we have staff from LAA here to speak to that. And then I'm going to be setting that bill aside and for further consideration of a definition of blind trust that I've indicated to Representative Seaton that we would be taking up at a later date. So we won't be dwelling. I don't want to spend too much time there because we have important other hearings that we want to get to this afternoon. And with that, we'll go ahead and take up Senate Bill 210. And Senator Cario, if I see you're in the audience and you want to come forward, I know it's we're here more or less at my request. And if you'll allow me, sir, there is a direct the committee's attention to amendment G1 will be marked amendment number 1. Is the primary reason we're here, and with the consent of the sponsor. So, Senator Terrio, if you just want to explain the bill just briefly to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just discuss the original bill first, and then we'll get to the proposed amendment. First of all, let's just let you know the basic idea behind Senate Bill 210 sprung from work that the Rural Justice Commission worked on. They have not put out their final report, but they identified a number of places in our state statutes where there were some inconsistency in the state law that made it difficult to control the alcohol, help to control the alcohol problem in rural Alaska. Section 1 amends the allowable quantities of alcohol from 12 liters of distilled spirits to 10.5 liters as it relates to a presumption of possession for the purpose of selling alcohol. This brings consistency to the state statutes, where right now the importation of 10.5 liters into a dry location is considered to be a felony, and a package stores are permitted to ship up to 10.5 liters monthly to damp locations. So we're just bringing the current inconsistency where we had one section that talked about 12 liters. We're just making it consistent across the board that it says 10.5. Section 2 allows for the seizure of alcohol from common carriers when it is being transported in violation of the law. It also allows for the forfeiture of property that was purchased from the illegal proceeds from bootlegging activities. Section 3 adds language similar to that of the drug control statutes to provide a streamlined process when property is seized, but there is an innocent party that claims an ownership interest in that property. And this is based along the current statutes that operate for proceeds or property that is purchased with illegal drug proceeds. And so it's the same process. Section 4, again, relates to the common carrier statutes. And Section 5, finally, gives a definition for manufacture of alcohol. The statutes in the state on manufacturing is not permitted, but it did not define manufacturing of alcohol. And so this finally puts a definition into statute. Then, Mr. Chairman, to return to your proposed amendment, it's a new concept, an additional concept being added to the bill. I'll let you explain it in detail to the members. I appreciate your bringing it to my attention some weeks back and allowing me to have time to check with communities in the Mat-Su Valley and also communities in interior Alaska, because this has an impact when you have municipalities such as boroughs that have cities within the borough boundaries. That, of course, is the situation in the Mat-Su Borough, also within the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I did receive an email yesterday from the mayors of Fairbanks, North Pole, and the borough in Fairbanks, saying that they approved of this addition to the bill. It has their approval. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, if you have questions on the original bill, I'm here to answer questions. And certainly on the new idea to be added to the bill in your amendment, I would hope members would turn to you. And I just point out, Mr. Chairman, that Senate Bill 210 has made it almost through the entire process without a single committee change. So you're the last committee. you just couldn't resist, but I'm supportive of your action.
Well, thank you, Senator Terrio. I appreciate your comments, and I'm very appreciative of you allowing your bill to be a vehicle to correct something that I believe is a minor, but if you're concerned, major problem in our state commerce. So I really appreciate that. So I would direct the committee's attention to the email from Catherine Dodge to Heather Briggs from your office, from the mayors Jeff Jacobson of the city of North Pole, Steve Thompson, the city of Fairbanks, and Jim Whitaker, mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, all in approval of this, and that everybody should have that in file. Is there any questions of Senator Terrio about the original portion of the bill? Representative Berkowitz.
Thanks so much. Senator, there were a number of other recommendations from the Rural Justice Commission. Are they all incorporated in your bill?
Let me have Heather Briggs answer that question.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Roekberg. There were a number of other recommendations, and these seem to be mainly cleanup of current statute, while others are more of bigger policy issues. And since that report has not been issued in final by the commission, we chose to really focus on these that were simple cleanup provisions that we could do this year.
Do we have any idea when the commission report is due out?
Annie Carpinetti from the Department of Law is here. I've been in contact with the Department of Law throughout the process, and we don't have a date that is set, is my understanding. Okay. But Annie might know more.
She said it was overdue. The dog ate their homework or something.
Let the record reflect that the Assistant Attorney General said she was going to apply with Representative Berkowitz's request. Is that correct? Very good. Further questions of the Senator or staff? Thank you, Ms. Briggs, and thank you very much again, Senator Terrio, for your allowing this action to move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have online. Well, before we do that, ministerially, we have before us Amendment Number 1, which is the G1 version. Representative Kaku, will you be so kind?
Sure, I would. And Mr. Chairman, at your request, I'll go ahead and move that we adopt Amendment Number G1, dated 3/21/06.
Object for purposes of discussion.
Very good. And just let me just very briefly, we do have Doug Griffith online to testify about the specifics of the bill, but very briefly, what this does is allows a transfer of a Title IV license from a borough into a city or another Title 29 entity, and vice versa, from a city to a borough. So, but to right now, there's a problem, and this has occurred in the Wasilla area, where there's a desire for substantial new commercial development in Wasilla, and other major restaurant chains such as Chili's and Applebee's have want to locate in that area, but they're restricted right now because they cannot get a beverage dispensary license or BDL because of the population restrictions, and there's no available licenses there, and they're limited numbers, but there's available licenses in the borough, so they can't transfer from the borough into the city in order to create more economic development, numbers of jobs. Each of those types of restaurants has in excess of 300 employees. And so it's a major constraint to economic development. And therefore, when we clearly trying to make any adjustments in the statutes, they apply to all areas of state that have a similar type of governmental organization. That is to say, city governments or other municipalities within a superstructure of a borough. So the primary caveat here is that in order to have any transfer from one jurisdiction to another, that both political subdivisions have to approve. So that's the real safety valve, if you will, here, that nothing is going to be done here or allowed for a massive relocation and shuffling of licenses without the overview of the local, at the local government level, which I think is a very appropriate thing, and a safeguard for any potential untrembled activities. So that is the nature of the this amendment. Representative Cockles.
Just maybe the person you're going to have testify will have an answer to this question. Does the appeal process for licensure remain the same throughout the process then?
I'd assume so, but we'll have Mr. Griffin verify that or speak to that particular issue. With that, Mr. Griffin, would you care to, are you online, sir, and could you present your testimony?
I am online, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me fine down there?
Yes, we can. 5x5, and please identify yourself for the record, sir.
Yes, my name is Doug Griffin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I won't repeat anything that you said, Mr. Chairman. I think you gave a good outline of it. My first response will be to Representative Coghill through the chair. This would not change any of the appeal rights or the ability of local governments to place conditions on licenses or to protest licenses that come up for renewal every 2 years. Of course, if a license does move from outside the borough into a city, then it becomes a city license. We would count it that way. And so when it comes up for renewal, the review of the license would go, in this case, the example that we're using, the city of Wasilla City Council would have the opportunity to review it versus the Mat-Su borough. Probably just another way of thinking of this, the one vehicle I use to explain this is you're in effect making the boroughs of the state that have cities located within them operate with regard to the movement of liquor license, much like a unified municipality, the municipality of Anchorage or the city and borough of Juneau, or the two prime examples, city and borough of Sitka is another unified municipality. We don't, here in Anchorage, we don't have Eagle River licenses and Girdwood licenses or downtown Anchorage licenses. They're all located within the municipality of Anchorage and can be moved, throughout the municipality. A liquor license could move all the way from Girdwood to Peters Creek here with the approval. Again, there's always the local government approval with the review and approval of the municipality of Anchorage Assembly. So this did come about because representatives from the city of Wasilla did contact my office, and I think Senator Green also contacted our office regarding this issue that Representative Roekberg described with regard to the city of Wasilla. And we basically said, yeah, you're kind of stuck. We told them we absolutely did not feel that it was appropriate to create any new licenses, and certainly this bill does not contemplate or do that. We feel there are a number of adequate liquor licenses. So as a fallback position or something, we said, well, there's this barrier, and some people could argue that it's somewhat artificial, and that the liquor laws of the state are not really designed to affect how a community chooses to develop, where to put their commercial areas and so forth. And so the more we looked at it, we thought, well, why do you have these little enclaves of city licenses and borough licenses and so forth? And to allow the freer movement of that, certainly it does reduce a restriction on commerce, but we really could not see any overarching good reason why this movement of licenses shouldn't be allowed if there's a demand for them in one part of the borough and not so much in another part of the borough? Why can't they move to meet the public's demand? That, overall, that is sort of the philosophy of the ABC board, is to try to regulate alcoholic beverages in a manner that that best serves the public, and that's both from a temperance point of view in terms of not abusing alcohol, but also from a commercial point of view, so that that businesses that do employ people and pay taxes and create economic wealth for the state and for individuals that want to be entrepreneurs, that they can engage in those businesses. So we don't have a problem with this change. It does not create any new licenses. It does allow them to be moved around a little more freely, and again, with the approval of the local governing bodies that have, you know, if a city says, hey, you know, we have too many licenses, we don't want any more to be moved into, or they have that ability to sort of have ultimate veto authority over the license, and they may also decide what types of licenses. We've got too many beverage dispensary licenses, but maybe we do need additional package stores. I mean, again, those are decisions that I think are left to the local governing bodies, and I think that's appropriate. Ultimately, of course, the ABC board has to get the final approval, but this would add this additional step of getting the sign-off of both the borough and the city, the sender of the license and the receiver of the license, to sign off on it. So we feel that would address any concerns that might be out there that there's a public benefit being accomplished. And with that, I'll conclude my comments, and I'm available to answer questions, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Griffin. Is there any questions of Mr. Griffin? Representative Gunbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand that the ABC board has final approval. But let me give an example of it in the Fairbanks borough, where you've got two cities, and if it's going to move from one city to another city, did the city that's losing the license have the ability to protest or to disapprove and have an influence on this decision?
Well, I believe the way the amendment is written, Representative Guttenberg, through the chair.
My objection is over. Hold on.
They do have that ability. The governing body of the let me just read the amendment that's in G1 here. Well, it actually, maybe I should leave that to Mrs. Carpinetti if she's there, because it does talk about the governing body of the borough approves the relocation, and so I don't know, perhaps a city to city transfer. That certainly, I don't think, what was being contemplated, but it's certainly a scenario that could happen. May not be that circumstance may not be addressed in the amendment offered by Representative Rookberg. I don't know if Mrs. Carpinetti can address that or not.
Mr. Chairman, I remove my objection.
Ms. Carpinetti, sure, if we could get on the record her comment about it, then we can move forward rapidly as possible. Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you.
For the record.
My name is Annie Carpinetti. I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law, and I also represent the ABC Board in their business that requires legal representation. You know, when we discussed this amendment, that was not something we were thinking about. We were thinking about movement from outside of the city limit into a city, but we hadn't considered from one city to another. Generally, and Mr. Griffin can correct me if I'm wrong, when a liquor license leaves a local government, they don't have occasion to protest. I could be mistaken. So I think that the way it's written, it really means that the place where you're going to relocate would have to have, would approve. I don't think it specifically contemplates the city within a borough agreeing to it moving.
Well, for the record, though, would, for example, in Mat-Su, they have several cities, mm-hmm. So they could have City of Houston, City of Wasilla, City of Palmer. Would you contemplate that this provision, this amendment, would allow, to say, a transfer of a license from the City of Palmer to the City of Wasilla?
I believe so, yes, okay. But I don't know whether it allow it
that makes
specifically
sense, and
provides
I like that
for
answer.
Yeah.
Further questions, Representative Coghill? Any follow-up?
Just on that. Then. So what you're saying, and I want to have this clear in my mind, is if we're going to move a business from Fairbanks to North Pole, for example, mm-hmm. that even if they chose to vacate that license in Fairbanks, they would still have to apply in North Pole for that liquor license that would go through regular public hearing process?
Yes. Whatever municipal process there is would apply. I mean, you could write it to say that the municipality where it's leaving would also have to approve, but I don't think it contemplates it the way it's drafted yeah. right now.
Further questions, Ms. Carpinetti? Does anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 210? Seeing none, a closed public testimony, Representative Harris.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the Senate Bill number 210/G version as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and whatever fiscal notes there may be.
There's none, and thank you very much. Are there any objections?
Yeah, now we got the title change resolution.
Seeing no objections, we'll adopt the bill's move. Representative Harris.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we take up, I don't know what the number of it is, House Concurrent Resolution something, slash A version. What's the name? Slash A, lockup 32106 as a working document.
Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Next, we'll take up Senate Bill 186.
I'd like to move that we move it from committee. Oh. Resolution. Took it up as a working document.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm taking up this. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we move out of committee House Concurrent Resolution something slash A, lockup 32106 from committee.
Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'd like efficiency around here, but not too efficient. Next, we'll take up 186. And we have. Let's see here. I direct you
to write in your name here.
I never do. Take a very brief at ease. There's an order taking up Senate Bill 186, the Executive Ethics Act, and there's an amendment 24G2 be marked Amendment Number 1. Is that Amendment 1? No. On this bill? Okay. Oh, it's okay, right. Amendment number one.
To adopt this version?
Right.
Do you adopt the R version already?
Yeah, we did in the last committee meeting.
Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah.
So,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Coghill.
For that, I would move amendment number one to this G2 to the bill.
Hearing an objection, we'll, for discussion purposes, we have... Mr. Wayne, sir, for the record.
Your hearing is better than anyone else's, Mr. Chair.
I know, I'm very acute ears like a bat.
No, for the purposes of speed, we ought to just
that's right.
Move on here.
Let's identify yourself for the record, sir. And give
my name is Dan Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E. I'm with Legislative Legal Services. I was the drafter that's referred to, not by name, but in the letter from the Attorney General's office. And I'm here to answer any questions that you might have about that letter and the proposed amendment.
Could you explain what it does?
Well, originally, the drafting error that's referred to in the letter was that the draft bill contains reference to probable cause determination by the personnel board. And it should have said Attorney General in the places that have been identified in the letter. So and that was my mistake, and it was based on a wrong assumption, and that sort of carried through on up the line until this point. And the amendment that's proposed by the Attorney General's office is that the where three references to the personnel board would be deleted and Attorney General would be inserted in its place. And then on page 6, lines 20 through 21, the language until the personnel board makes a finding of probable cause would be deleted. And I think the letter sums up pretty well what those would accomplish.
Very good. Any questions of Mr. Wayne? So, Mr. You had penance for making the error. You had to come over here.
I think this is my penance.
We sympathize with you, sir. I understand.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on this amendment?
Is your objection maintained to your own amendment?
No, I don't hear an objection being maintained.
All right. Amendment number one passes, right, Mr. Chairman?
That is correct. Amendment number one is passed. We have now before us the bill. About the committee is going to hold this bill over and potentially review some Representative Seaton and myself are working on a further definition of blind trust, and there's a chance this may come up at our next meeting.
I hope your eyesight is as good as your hearing, Mr. Chairman.
Well, it is.
We're contemplating blind trust.
That's right. Thank you very much. With that, we adjourn.